This is still June 17, tape 7, side 14. And we're continuing with our interview with Richard Rau, who, as you know, on the other side of the tape started to mention something about President Clinton. Do you want to finish that? Or?
Well, just to say that what's happening here is a little bit of a crazy thing. It may be that Clinton may have some of there may be some truth to the allegations that he's been messing around, but I think the whole thing has been handled so badly that I don't think we really know what's going on anymore.
Okay. What do we have
here? All right,
here?
The next one is just a quickie. This is a July 19, 1954 editorial in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette after my father's death on July 17, 1954. The editorial is as follows. Few individuals have contributed so much to the life of the Pittsburgh of their times as Richard S. Rau, the distinguished son of distinguished parents. Mr. Rau gave selflessly to many civic enterprises and did countless private, unsung deeds of charity. Mr. Rau will ever be identified with the Pittsburgh Playhouse, of which he was was founder, president, and abiding angel. Along with his mother, the late revered Mrs. Enoch Rau, he was prominent in the forming of the Pittsburgh Symphony Society in 1927 and had since that time served as its secretary. His humanitarian zeal was felt in varied charitable and cultural enterprises, including the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies, of which he was second-term president when he died. Dick Rau was loved and respected by all who knew him. In him, the city has lost an outstanding son and a kind and enthusiastic friend.
Day of July 19th, 1954. Yes. Cute little cartoon. Pirates
Hungerford, yes.
League outfit.
In fact, Hungerford drew one of his most wonderful caricatures of my father. I still have it. It's a famous for our family anyway. It was a wonderful picture of my father about the 1930s.
When did he die?
Who? Hungerford, I don't know. I think recently.
Okay.
All right, now this picture, I don't know if I gave you this, maybe not. This is the photograph of my family. And my grandmother labeled this picture 70th birthday anniversary dinner for Pauline Wertheimer Florsheim. Now, Pauline Wertheimer Florsheim is my great-grandmother on my father's side. And the date of this is December 5th. The photograph is December 4th, 1920. But there is some doubt about this because it looks as if my grandmother, great-grandmother, Pauline, is older than she would be in this picture. She was born in 1840. This would make her, this would mean this picture would be made in 1910 and not 1920. So I don't know.
Yeah, that we have on tape. In fact, this gentleman here.
That's my father.
Your father, we had him.
But you already
he would have to be 17 years old or something.
Right.
Figured, right?
I don't know what the story
is. Yeah, we have that.
We have all this.
Yes.
So you don't need this, right?
I think
let's not dismiss the picture. It might be a duplicate, but let's keep it. What do you think?
I don't think so either. I don't either.
There you go.
At one point, you didn't know who.
Yeah. I don't think we have the writing at the bottom, so let's keep it. You can write maybe that it might be a duplicate.
This is just, again, another. This was a story in the Tribune Review written by Ed Blank when my mother died, a story about her. Unfortunately, however, you do not have. Oh, yeah, you do. Wait a minute. Yeah, you have the whole story. This is part one, and then it goes here.
Adieu to a friend of local theater, Edith Ed Blank. What you don't have is... Ah, you do. You have the second part. Here it is. Okay.
Now the following...
March 14th, 1993.
Now the following are articles from the Pittsburgh papers that I had duplicated. And they are as follows, and this is all on hard paper, kind of a harder, so it may last longer. I don't know. This first one is from 1953, and it is a behind-the-scenes story about my mother and Dorothy Randall and Josephine Vicari and Florence Sando, all of whom were involved, and Josephine Vicari being Josie Carey. And, right, and this is a musical which was a big success at the Playhouse called 3 to 1, which was about 1953. 1923, I guess, and basically it's just a story, and written by Dorothy Randall.
Tell a little bit about Josie Carey. I don't think we can dismiss...
Well, I don't know a lot about her, except that she was a big personality here in TV in the early days of television in Pittsburgh.
With Mr. Rogers?
And Mr. Rogers, but I never really knew her, and I didn't, but I, my mother said nice things about her, and she had a great following in Pittsburgh. That's about all I can say about that.
They started, I think, the Children's Corner together, right, with Mr. Rogers.
This is a 19... October 1934 picture of my mother, Helen Wayne, at that time, that's the name she used, and Edward Blaine in a production of The Drunkard, staged in the English room of the Fort Pitt Hotel by the George Sharp Players. And this is a, and below it is a little picture of my mother, Helen Wayne, and it says, the George Sharp stupendous production of The Drunkard, now is in its third week at the Fort Pitt Hotel, continues to play to capacity audiences nightly, combining drinks, dramatics, and dancing, as was the style and custom of the days gone by. Helen Wayne gives a highly creditable performance in the role of Mary Wilkins, Wilson, who is the objective conquest of the villain. Helen is well known theatrically through her association with Carnegie Tech, the Civic Playhouse, and other local dramatic organizations. She is an ambitious actress and aspires to achieve a New York success. Well, of course, ladies, we know that had she done that, I'm not trying to have any bitter grapes here, I would be living in New York right now.
And we wouldn't get to know you.
Oh, that's right. And Edward, probably I would have been mugged years ago and let, you know, something would have happened.
Was Edward Blaine a known actor?
In the Pittsburgh area, yeah. Now, this is a compilation of things. Again, around 1934. There are three pictures of my mother and a little story. The first picture at the top is... says that Helen Wayne is receiving bouquets of orchids, a couple of pounds of hearty plaudits, and a whole case of encouragement as the result of her work in the Sally Bates role in Goodbye Again, which will be seen tonight and tomorrow in the Arnold School as given by the Pittsburgh Summer Playhouse. Miss Wayne's work makes this piece one of the best shows Pittsburgh has seen in months. Then below it is in season opener, and this is the very first play at the Pittsburgh Playhouse. It says, Helen Wayne, who has co-starred with Robert Gill in Art and Mrs. Bottle, launching the season tomorrow for the Pittsburgh Playhouse at the Frick Training School Auditorium. And this really officially is the beginning of the Pittsburgh Playhouse. That's the production, and that's how she looked.
Is that the Arnold Theater, then?
Well, I don't know.
Does Arnold Theater become the Pittsburgh Playhouse, or is it part of Carnegie Tech?
Well, I thought the Frick School Auditorium was where they did productions. I'm not sure.
Can we assume that then is the Arnold Theater in the Frick?
No.
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 So you don't know anything about the Arnold Theater?
No.
Okay.
There's an article up here next to these, thrown in with these pictures, about the Pittsburgh Summer Playhouse. Now, this again was a theater which existed connected to the Playhouse. It was the beginnings of the Playhouse, but not Playhouse. But it is. It is and it isn't. I'm not sure how this works. Anyway, this is written by Manuel M. Greenwald, and he says the play, which is The Dangerous Corner, is carried for the main part by Helen Wayne, whose engaging personality, natural skill, and rich voice are likely to bring this exceptional young actress to the theatrical front. This is in 1934. And it is, in fact, the article does indicate that this is the Playhouse, I guess, except though the Playhouse really officially opens in December of 1934, and this is earlier. I don't know. Maybe it isn't.
Should we know anything about Manuel Greenwald?
Don't know who he is.
Okay.
And at the bottom of this is a picture of my mother. It says, Helen Wayne is a member of the cast of Springtime for Henry, the comedy offering of the Summer Playhouse, Shadyside Academy. in Fox Chapel,
the main campus.
So they must have used the different venues, right?
Interesting. Nice to know where Arnold is. Okay.
This is another compilation of photographs about my mother, again around 1934 and maybe even 35. At the top it says, "Let's read the funnies, Grandpa," and it says, "Grandpa and Lillian, in the persons of David Olson and Helen Wayne, well-known WCAE dramatic artists, have been signed to read the Sun-Telegraph comic pages 4 times weekly." And this is when my mother was doing a lot of radio work. And she became quite adept at this, and even won a contest, forgotten. She won a national contest with her voice. She had a great voice, fabulous voice. Then below this is 2 pictures. Loretta Young, the famous movie actress, and my mother are paired next to each other. And it says, "Lovely actresses these. Loretta Young stars in Polly of the Circus at 9. Helen Wayne is heard in the Sun-Telegraph dramatization, The Girl with the Silver Eyes." And these are, again, are radio dramas, when radio, of course, was big. And next to all this is a picture of my mother, and it says, "Helen Wayne plays opposite Robert Gill in Children of Darkness, which will be presented for a week opening Monday by Pittsburgh Playhouse in the Frick School Theater." Well, that would really mean that that's 1934.
So the physical facility was not completed then?
They had bought, they had purchased the building.
All right, Sun Telegraph was a major...
Yeah, paper. There were 3 of them.
Right.
That was one. Now, this one is, again, about 1934. This is the first reviews in the Pittsburgh papers by Florence Fisher Perry and writing in the Post-Gazette of the Press, and George Seibel writing in the Post-Gazette, of the first play the Playhouse ever did called, the first play that they officially called, the Playhouse production, called Art and Mrs. Bottle, by Ben Levy, and my mother was in this show, and the reviews, here are the 2 reviews of that.
Should we know anything about Florence Fisher Perry?
No, but a lot of people in Pittsburgh do. She was well-known, and was a well-known critic and writer.
And George Seibel, should we know anything about him?
Same thing.
Okay.
He was another good critic at the time. I never knew him. This, again, is another extension of my mother's career in radio in the 1930s. It's a picture of her. It says, "Helen Wayne, Edward Harvey, and Sondra Costner, deep in study of the script of Our Family program, along of radio favorite here, which returns to the air from WCAE today at 4:45. It will be heard weekly at the same time." And then below, next to it, is a picture of my mother dated September 27, 1934, from the Pittsburgh Sun-Telegraph. It says, "Helen Wayne, Mary, the part of the ingenue, is to be Helen Wayne's starring vehicle. You remember Helen Wayne, of course. She is that good-looking brunette over on WCAE who makes you know for sure that what radio needs is television." How about that?
That's wonderful.
1934, that line.
That's amazing.
Isn't that?
And what, the first TV was like 29 or something.
"Who makes you know..." I'm going to read this again.
Oh.
"She is that good-looking brunette over on WCAE who makes you know for sure that what radio needs is television."
Amazing.
Well, a little while ago, George Sharp, that used to run the stock company here in town, came back to Pittsburgh with the Drunkard script under his arm. The idea of a play of the old melodrama type produced with the audience at ease at tables covered with red check tablecloths has gone over with a resounding crash in other cities, and it looks as though it will here with the opening set for early next month. Well, this is before they discovered that it became a big hit. She always talked about it. It was one of her biggest successes, early successes, The Drunkard. I think that's George M. Cohan's script. I'm pretty sure of that. All right, then below this article is another picture of my mother next to a woman named Rhoda Arnold, whom I don't know, and it says, "Helen Wayne, lovely and versatile radio actress, has a leading role in WCAE's new Murder with Music series. Rhoda Arnold is the singing voice of Diane on the Diane and Her Lifesaver program, heard tonight at 8 on WJAS." So this again is all the radio involvement that she had.
This is September
27th, 1934. Yeah.
WCAE. It's a wonderful picture.
This is a photograph. There are 3 more photographs coming up here. One is my mother. It says, "Helen Wayne, leading woman of WCAE radio dramatic players, has been revealed as the mystery girl. You hear her 2 in the role of Mrs. Jimmy, of Dr. and Mrs. Jimmy over WCAE nightly. Then we see a picture of her again from 1934, and it says Don Gallagher and Helen Wayne, portrayers of Lucky and Lenny, Leany in Premiere, WCAE dramatization of the new serial story of Motion Picture Thrills, starring in Tomorrow's Sun Telegraph. The first of 6 nightly episodes goes on the air at 7:15 tonight. Below this, in an earlier year, 1933, is a picture of my mother, and she's kneeling with a newspaper in her hand, and it says, one of the busiest stock companies in radio presents WCAE's air dramas. See if you can identify the members of the group with the air parts they assume in our family. The weekly dramatization of Sun Telegraph short stories. And then they have left to right, Helen Wayne, Harold Goldstein, Leon Churchin, Davel, I don't know the rest of these people. And again, these are people who... So my mother was heavily into radio, there's no doubt about it. And I have no... I told you later on she did the Safety Story Lady stuff. That was the extent of her radio involvement later on, and it was a big success.
They're holding a newspaper, and the headline is Setback Given Coin Defense. I don't remember what coin was, but fascinating. And the top line of the paper is Dillinger Gunman Slain.
Well, that'll give you the time. There's no question about that.
1933. Isn't that amazing?
This next one is, again, this is about 1935. It's another picture of my mother, and it says, Helen Wayne above was chosen by a nationally known sponsor to impersonate their charm authority on the air. Her voice was piped to New York, and thus she won the audition. She is a notable of the Pittsburgh stage and radio world. Eddie Lane, below, and there's a picture of this guy, is maestro of the new orchestra at the William Penn Chatterbox, broadcasting over KDKA and WCAE. Then there is another part of this article, which part of it's cut out, and I don't know what's going on here, is... Radio and the theater are repeatedly taking pages from each other's storybook. Selection of Helen Wayne, versatile actress of the Pittsburgh Playhouse, for a secret broadcasting role after her voice was piped from KDKA to New York, is an illustration. Miss Wayne is heard thrice weekly as Beatrice de Silvery, but given even her friends had been kept in ignorance of the actual identity of the person performing the role. Several weeks ago, the sponsors launched a hunt for a radio voice. Several hundred persons were heard, but not until Miss Wayne spoke from KDKA did the sponsors decide they had found the voice most suitable to their needs. At the same time, she was continuing her role of Mrs. Jimmy in WCAE's Dr. and Mrs. Jimmy, and takes lead roles on WCAE Players presentation. Now, Miss Wayne is a 1933 graduate of the Drama Department of Carnegie Tech, where she first performed in Allison's House, Taming of the Shrew, Pillars of Society, and other plays. Her public stage appearances began several seasons ago with the Y Playhouse. Later, she appeared in Children's Playhouse performances, then in Pittsburgh Civic Playhouse offerings, culminating in her fine performance with Judith Anderson last summer. She was selected one of the original George Sharp Drunkard's cast and acted with the group 9 weeks before joining the new Pittsburgh Playhouse, taking the lead in their latest success, Children of Darkness. She will appear in a prominent role in No More Ladies under the direction of Charles Hopkins, New York producer, on February 25th in the Frick School. Admirers predict a Broadway stage and radio career for Miss Wayne. She is just 23.
This is dated 1935.
Well, I don't know about that. I think that date's a little off.
Oh, is it? Okay.
33,
what was she born?
She was born in 19... Oh, I'm sorry. No, that is correct. That would make it 1935. Yes,
that's what it is. Okay.
This next item are two articles, two reviews of the play she did at the Playhouse. And the reviews are January 23rd, which, by the way, was her birthday. I just noticed that, 1935. And they say, Playhouse does a fine job in Children of Darkness. Harold
W. Cohen.
Now he's listed as Harold W. Cohen, but that was changed to Harold B.
Okay.
And the other review is Cecil B. Brown. I don't know who he is. And these are just reviews of that play. Now, these are reviews of my of a couple of my mother's shows. One of my major, my mother's major hits, called Middle of the Night, and this is the play that I was banned from seeing because she and I had a big fight. And the play, the reviews of this play are written by Harold V. Cohen and Carl Krug, and they are dated April 20th, 1959. And these two reviews, and as I said before, this show is one of the few shows she ever did where she had a serious role.
And it's Patty Chayefsky.
Yes, correct.
Middle of the Night.
The quote here from that Carl Krug's review is, Helen Wainwright is outstanding as the slightly domineering, slightly conniving spinster sister of the widower.
And Carl Krug was also a well-known critic.
Yes,
here, right?
Of the Sun Telegraph.
Okay. And Harold V. Cohen was with?
Post-Gazette.
Post-Gazette.
Now here is a review by Harold V. Cohen in 1945 of a play called Blithe Spirit, which was another one of her hits. And I'm trying to find in this review what he says about her, if anything. Well, here he says, Mrs. Helen Wainwright plows into the role of the medium with bursting enthusiasm and turns in her performance that is fine and dandy. Mrs. Rao does practically everything except stand on her head in delivering something just this side of a comedy masterpiece, and the giddy dents in the part mark the spots where she has sunk her teeth into it. Oh, and on the side to that review is an article that names her on October 13, 1945, from a magazine I can't identify. She was then named Woman of the Week. Now, she's playing in Blithe Spirit as Madame Arcadi, but and they connect that to also the fact that they say, today, actress Rao is the most outstanding woman of the week because she, like her husband, handsome, able Richard S. Rao, has been identified with the Playhouse since its inception and has worked to make it come alive, both offstage and on. Now, because she leads a beautifully balanced life, has her finger on the pulse of a dozen philanthropic projects, loves to read, enjoys the symphony, finds inspiration for mimicry in the antics of her five-year-old son, Shadyside Academy kindergartner Richard Enoch Rao.
And Noel Coward wrote Blithe Spirit.
Right.
Is that written down?
This is a collection of reviews. This is all mixed up. This page contains a review of her in Oh Dad, Poor Dad, dated 3/16/64. She played Madame Rose Petal in that production. It was one of her greatest creations. And Casper Monahan says in this review, her timing is accurate, her voice an organ of many tones, ranging from sly little squeaks to thunderous roars, her face a rubbery mask of changing expressions. Also on this same page is a review of the same is a review of another play of hers by Casper Monahan titled 3-1, which I mentioned earlier. And at the top of that page is a repeat of an article I already gave you called Playhouse Star Breaks Record of Performances, again relating to Oh Dad.
Okay, the preceding picture,
yeah,
where it says Woman of the Week, it says here to her a gardenia and the B.I. Connie Award for the Week. So what was B.I.?
No,
you
idea.
Don't know. Okay.
I thought
it would identify.
No idea.
The paper.
In 1948, this article in the Post-Gazette appeared. It named my father Man of the Week. Civic affairs keep Dick Rao busy, and it's a story written by Edith Rosenblatt, I don't know who she is, which discusses his life and his reactions to theater in Pittsburgh. That's an interesting article with a picture of him with a copy of a play in his hands.
Dated 1948.
November 30th, 1948.
20th, and it's Post-Gazette. That's okay. Do you want to tell us anything about Caspar Monahan?
Other than the fact that he was just one of the triumvirate of critics at the time, he and Krug and Cohn were all good people, and they all were nice people. I never knew Monahan at all, but I just heard of him. My mother in 1970 was named Woman in Business, and they saluted at the 19th in a series of tributes. Kaufman's Advisory Board for Women in Business salutes Pittsburgh actress Helen Wayne Rau, and their picture of her, the picture in the middle is from the Playhouse production of He Who Gets Slapped, which was around 1935, and it's simply a recapitulation of her life, and at the bottom it says, "For a girl who never left home, we think Helen Wayne Rau has run a glorious gamut, and we take great pleasure in giving her one more rousing round of applause. Mrs. Rau will be honored at dinner tonight by the Advisory Board of Triangle Corner Limited, a special program for women in business conducted by Kaufman's."
8/20/70, August 20th, 1970.
Now, the next, I'm giving you, in 1939, my mother became a columnist for the Pittsburgh Sun-Telegraph. And the articles she wrote were on fashion, makeup, charm, how to dress yourself, everything. And so I found these articles and I saved them. The first one is "Lovely Voice, Captivating and Charming. Cultivation and Control of Speech Important." And these are all written by the byline is Mrs. Richard S. Rau. And she simply discusses this in connection with different people who she knew at the Playhouse. This one is called "Uncontrolled Expressions Detract from Charm." She talks about how to make a woman charming. "Perfect Grooming Aid to Charm." Again, another article about that. "Poise and Posture Aids to Feminine Charm." Charming woman always mannerly and courteous. "Graciousness held most revealing of feminine attributes." Unbelievable. These, I've read every one of these. They're unbelievable. They are quite extraordinary because she knew makeup, as an actress, and she seemed, and she knew how to dress, she knew how to do accessorizing, as we say today, and she knew it all. Here's Stephanie Cohen. This is, again, an actress at the Playhouse. She's called Stephanie Diamond here, but "you can accentuate good features by use of subtle stage tricks. Makeup properly used enhances one's charm." And some of the stuff is wonderful. "Radiant personality is important as facial perfection. You can be charming." And finally, "Modesty, a becoming and charming trait. Present type devoid of frills and furbelows of bygone age. Modest, kind, untiring, such noble women are everlastingly beautiful and charming. They may never scale the heights nor have their voices heard throughout the world, but they have long since learned that while loquacity storms the ear, modesty takes the heart." That's what, the conclusion of that article by my mother.
What would women's lib do with it?
I think they would burn it somewhere. In a quiet.
They certainly would. Oh, wonderful.
Now, I think I gave you this, but this is, again, I'll repeat this again. This is an article which appeared on July 15, 1937. It has to do with my grandmother's involvement with Amelia Earhart and George Gershwin. Now, do you have, Gabby, do you have this?
Now, you talked about that relationship, but I don't think we have any.
All right, well, this is from the Post-Gazette. And what it is a discussion of how my grandmother met Amelia Earhart when she came to Pittsburgh. My grandmother took her around the car, you know, this whole thing. And the other part of the story has to do with when Gershwin came to Pittsburgh as a soloist with the Pittsburgh Symphony, and my grandmother invited him to play the piano at her house, and he broke the keys and that sort of thing.
No, we don't. All right, Charlie Danver, you want to tell us anything about Charles Danver?
I don't know. I know he was important in Pittsburgh, but I don't really know.
With the Post Gazette.
With the Post Gazette, yeah. Right, but I don't know. He's a well-known columnist, and he was that for...
I think he was one of the editors, too. I'm possibly...
That's possible.
Okay.
Okay, why don't you turn that off for a second so we can get our...